The topic tonight that I've chosen to talk on is created with purpose. And the reason that I chose the wording there instead of for purpose, the reason I chose with purpose instead of for purpose was because I want us to think about it in a way that God created us with intentionality. I don't want us to get stuck on finding just that one specific thing that God created us for. I think sometimes we get too caught up in trying to find the perfect will of God. I think it's good to strive for that, but I want to encourage you all to think of it that God had intention when he created you. And there can be many different things that play into that, not just one specific thing. So yeah, what I've written down for my goal is to encourage us that we were created with intentionality and that you can make a difference for good. I think before we go further, I'd just like to have a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Gracious Father, thank you for this evening that you've blessed us with, and as we try to understand the purpose with which you've created us, the intentionality that you've created us with, I pray that you would give us clarity to understand what you have for us. And bless each one of these youth here this evening, and go with us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn with me to Esther chapter 3. So Esther is one of the first ones that came to mind when I was thinking about created with purpose, and that was largely because of what Mordecai had told Esther. I'm going to read a few verses there. Esther chapter 3, starting in verse 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together in Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her. So this was the section when when Esther was made queen, yeah. And so leading up to this, obviously we kind of know the background of the story there, but Esther was chosen as queen, and she was a Jew, unknowing to many of the people, I believe. Okay, I think I was actually reading in the wrong place, and that's why I'm confused. I was reading in chapter 2. Anyway, the section that I was wanting to read, and this was after the decree had gone out. Haman had gotten a signature and from the king, and it was basically an irreversible decree that went out that all the Jews should be killed. When Haman... when Mordecai found out about this, he called to Esther and he was like, you're going to have to do something about this. And verse 14 says, Esther's response was that, well, she wasn't invited into the king's court. And if you're not invited into the king's court, the king could just, you could be killed for that unless he held out the golden scepter to you. And so in verse 14, it says, Thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be an enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And this is, I'm reading in chapter 4. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's the section I want to focus on. Mordecai was encouraging Esther that this may be the very reason, one of the very reasons why you have been brought to the kingdom. God has a plan for us. Esther was in a difficult situation. Probably it looked like either way that if she did not respond by going to the king and making a plea, the chances of her being killed were pretty high. And if she did go, she also faced the same thing if he did not accept her. But her response was, if I die, I die. She chose to do that. Mordecai reminded Esther of her responsibilities to God's people. Many times when we find ourselves in difficult situations, and like Esther, we don't know the outcome, what do we do with that? I think our temptation is to run from difficult things that come our way, but I would rather that we think of them in the way that Mordecai did, in that this may be one of the very reasons that God has brought us or placed us where he did. I'm going to attempt to share an illustration with y'all. I feel like it's a little bit vague, but I hope y'all can get it. So I'm a cabinet maker. Actually, that's probably one of the reasons I'm here. Josh and I are both cabinet makers, and so we've interacted some in that through that. But when we go to designing a kitchen for somebody, one of the first things that we're going to do is we're going to meet with the client. We're going to have them come in, and we're going to try to figure out what do they want, what species wood do they want, what color do they want, and so on. We want to understand what they want the finished product to look like. And that way we can try to make sure that that comes out as expected. When everything's well planned and we have all the necessary parts and supplies to complete the project, we can get started. And so sometimes it even requires us to order special parts for that. So we have that. And so I want us to think about God. God is the creator. And he has created each of us with purpose. He has designed a plan for all of us. That line is a timeline. And as God, imagine God looking down. So he's sitting there on the drawing board. He's planning out the next 100 years or whatever. And he gets to 2023. He draws a line here. 2023. And I'm going to pick on Penn Valley. I don't know what your situation is here, but I don't know it, so I can pick on y'all. But here he says that Penn Valley is going to have some rough waters. And God is looking at that. He's like, what am I going to do for this? He's trying to figure out a plan to come up with this. And in that, he says, I'm going to need an encourager at Penn Valley in 2023. I'm going to need somebody who just is good at lifting people up. They're going to need that. And so as he's working on that, so now he realizes that now God says, we need an encourager here. I'm not good at spelling. I'm just going to put E there. And so he's looking at that, and normally what is the age of you all that serve here is probably somewhere in the 18 to 23 range. And so we're going to go with 20 years. So he has to, so we go back 20 years, like, well, in order for this to happen, we're going to have a baby here 20 years prior to that. And so in order for that to happen, he's going to, we could keep going back with this, but we'll stop with there. But God is thinking about this. Like, okay, so in order to have that encourager there in 2023, we've got to have a baby here. And then in this timeline, there could be different things that he brings in, different bumps in the road that he brings in that helps shape and form this person to be the encourager here. Maybe somewhere here they face a low time in their life where they're discouraged. And God uses that as a time to where they're properly equipped to meet this need in 2023. And I share that. It's hard to wrap our minds around the all-knowingness of God. And, this, I believe that God so carefully plans our life that this could be the very case, but we can have hundreds of those in our life that are all just as well planned out. And I guess my encouragement, what I'm pushing for is that as we face life circumstances, whatever it may be we find ourselves in, especially if we find ourselves in a difficult place or a place where we don't know where to go. But I think if we think about it the way that Esther did, in that maybe this is exactly what God has created for. It changes our perspective. And I think we can, it changes the way we respond to things because we're thinking of them differently. So while my illustration feels somewhat crude, but I hope you all can get the picture that God created us with a plan. The same way I wouldn't just attempt to build a kitchen without a plan or without talking to a customer. In the same way, I don't believe that God just makes people have babies and just sets them free. I think God has intention. He has intention for each of you. Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah, said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth from the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto nations." And this was obviously speaking to Jeremiah, who was a prophet. But I believe that God planned us with intentionality. And are you living up to that, even in the little things, whatever it may be? There's a story I'm going to share with you that I came across in studying for this. It says, in a small village, there lived a wise old man to whom everybody turned for guidance and advice. One day, a young boy decided he would confront the old man with a question that he knew the old man would not be able to answer correctly. His plan was to find a little bird and hold it cupped in his hand, hidden from sight. Then he would approach the wise old man and ask him to guess what he had buried in his hands. If the old man answered that correctly, he would ask him the big question, whether the bird was alive or dead. If the old man said the bird was alive, the boy would crush the bird in his hands and kill it, thereby proving the old man wrong. If the old man said it was dead, the boy would open his hands and let it fly free, demonstrating at last that the old man was not as wise as everyone thought. So the boy ventured off and found a little sparrow that fit neatly in his hands, and he approached the old man. The boy said, "Wise old man, can you tell me what I have found in my hands?" "Why, of course I can," the old man responded without hesitation. "From all the feathers you have all over yourself, it's obvious you got a bird." "Ah, that is so," the young boy exclaimed. "But is the bird alive or dead?" The old man paused for a moment, rubbed his chin in contemplation of his response. Looking the young boy in the eyes, the old man replied in a soft tone, "Whether the bird is alive or dead is in your hands, my child. The choice is yours." What the story is bringing out is that we have a choice in our outcome. We have a choice on how we will respond to our circumstances. It's in our own hands. Let's not use the excuse of we couldn't control it. We always have a choice of, we always have some kind of choice in the matter, how we respond to something. The life of Joseph has been a tremendous challenge to me lately. He's probably become one of my favorite Old Testament characters, and that's probably just because of all the things that Joseph has went through and came out victorious, the challenges that he faced. He was treated cruelly, rejected by his own family. In a lot of ways, he was treated worse than an animal. He was first thrown in the pit, and then they got him out, sold him as a slave. And back then, it wasn't just him being a slave, but his children and his wife would be slaves as well. He was taken to be a servant for Potiphar, where after some time, Potiphar's wife tempts him, in which he literally does the right thing. He flees away from that, and what does she do but turn it against him? So she's left with his coat, and then she says, "Oh, this is evidence that he was attacking her," and that gets him thrown in prison. And so if we think about where Joseph, the way he must have been feeling, you know, just again and again, he's doing what's right, he's trying to do what's right, and it just seems like he just continues to get pushed down and pushed down, and he ends up in prison. Turn to Genesis chapter 40. And this is now when he's in prison, and the butler and baker are in there as well, and they have these dreams, and so he's interpreting these dreams for them. And he says here in verse 14, it says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me in this dungeon." And then let's see what happens. jump down to verse 23, the last verse there of the chapter. He says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So here Joseph interprets a dream. The butler is set free. He asks him, can you at least do me a favor? And he doesn't even do that. So he's stuck in prison for another 2 years. Now, eventually, Joseph does get out, and he gets put over the in charge of the, because of the famine, he gets put in charge of the grain and collecting things to make sure that everybody has enough. And so jump forward to Genesis chapter 50. And this is probably what amazes me more about the life of Joseph than just about anything. The few verses here, it says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it for evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The response that Joseph had toward his brothers was that of love. Even though he was mistreated, and his brothers, sold him and probably never expected to see them again, yet he said that while you meant it for evil, he was able to see that God meant it for good. And I think the only way that that is possible is because Joseph was in tune with God. Joseph, and obviously, I think there's a lot we can learn from forgiveness from him as well. Joseph had obviously forgiven his brothers for what they had done. And he recognized that God had a plan through everything. God had a purpose for bringing him through this path, bringing him through those difficulties that he had. And as he mentions there, he said, one of the purposes was to save much people alive. Because of that, Joseph was in a place where he was able to help out a lot of people who may have starved otherwise, or whatever it may be. So, I guess as we wrap this up, when we respond to life circumstances in a way that points others to the character of God, we will have a lasting impact and be able to fulfill the purpose and intention which God has created for us. And that's what I want to leave with you all tonight.